Good morning and welcome to Calendar Bay Church Online. I'm Pastor John Intoff, and thank you so much for being with us here today as we worship the Lord together in this online experience. And at present, we only have our online service, and the reason is because of the COVID-19 restrictions that we are under in the province of Ontario. A little bit of confusing information that came out this week, but it looks like the week of February 9th to 11th will be the week when some of these restrictions are tentatively going to be removed. And so we're keeping a close eye on that. And if there are any changes, we'll let you know as soon as possible. But at the present moment, we'll just be able to have online ministry and not in-person meetings, at least for a couple weeks anyway. And so we will let you know as soon as possible if there are any changes about that. Well, we thank you for your support of Calendar Bay Church. You've been very generous and faithful in your giving. And if you would like to give to the ministry of Calendar Bay Church, there's a couple of ways that you can do that. Number one is by going to our webpage, calendarbaychurch.ca, and you can safely and securely give online to our ministry. The other way is by mailing your gift, and you just can simply mail it to our mailing address, which is Calendar Bay Church, Box 218, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. Again, that address is Calendar Bay Church, Box 218, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. Well, we want to stay connected during these times when we're not allowed to meet in person. And a couple ways that we're doing that is, number one, is through our Facebook group. And so there's opportunities to be able to share with one another. I know that a number of you have been posting things that have been an encouragement to you, and that's great. And you can also join in on any discussions that we might have. I think we've got what you're doing to keep yourself busy, winter activities, and so you can post a picture there. We also send out a daily email, and we send that out 6 days a week called the Daily Encouragement, and you can get on that by simply going to our webpage, and there's a link there that you can click, and you can get onto that email mailing list. And I would also encourage you during this time to phone people, to Skype people, to Zoom people, just to check to see how they're doing and to encourage them and to pray with them. And so I would encourage you to do that, but make sure that you stay connected. On our webpage, we also have a number of resources that are available. Each week, we put together a small group curriculum that you can use for a discussion around the dinner table, or you can join one of the groups that is meeting online. There is also a lesson, Bible discovery lesson for kids there. There's also other resources. I put up an EMCC newsletter, just keeping you aware of all the things that are going on in our denomination. And there are lots of other resources that are available, including being able to catch up on any messages that you might have missed. And so make sure that you utilize all the great resources that are at our webpage, which is at calendarbaychurch.ca. Well, Camp Mishawa is opening itself for registrations on February the 1st. A little bit up in the air, but you can register for family camp ministry. I know many people enjoy their time at Camp Mishawa. And so that is now being made available February the 1st. And so there you go. Thinking about summer already and the camp ministry. Well, we want to worship the Lord together, and this is such a beautiful song that reminds us of the beautiful name of Jesus. And as we sing it, let's just lift up the name of Jesus and worship Him this morning.
Now reveal.
Morning. We're continuing on a series of messages called The Life You've Always Wanted, Spiritual Disciplines for Everyday People. And I was reminded again this week of the importance of seizing the day as far as growing in our faith. You know, this is one of the greatest opportunities that we've had, as a lot of other activities have slowed down, to really get ourselves firmly grounded in our faith and in our desire to be transformed and changed into the image of Christ. And so make sure that you're seizing these opportunities. You know, there are lots of things that we can consume our time with. I know I've done my fair share of binge watching on TV, and I've done my fair share of puzzles, but make sure that in your busyness that you don't miss this great opportunity. And today we want to look at the area of having an undivided life and how we can use God's word in order to be able to live a life of undivided devotion to the Lord. Well, you know, oftentimes we hear about things that are pure. You know, I've got a picture of some pure maple syrup. And actually, I was reflecting on pure maple syrup. And my mom, when we were kids, was really good at making maple syrup. Now, but it wasn't real maple syrup. That's the funny thing was, is that basically it was sugar with maple flavoring, but she was really good at it. And we were having a pancake breakfast. I think it was like one of those pancake breakfasts on Easter morning. And my mom had made the maple syrup for the breakfast. And I overheard people talking at the next table about the maple syrup. And they were asking, is this the real stuff or is this the fake stuff? And they tried it and they said, oh no, that's the real stuff. And I kind of chuckled to myself because I knew all it was my mom's great fake maple syrup. And there was really nothing pure about that maple syrup except for maybe the fact that it was pure sugar. And, you know, sometimes when we look at things that are pure, you know, Christ calls us to have a pure devotion to him. Listen to what the Word of God says. This is from 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And so there was a concern that the Apostle Paul is expressing here, that there could be deception that would pull us away from pure devotion to Christ. And sometimes as we go through this life, we can be pulled away from pure devotion. And when we do that, the scripture has another term for that being pulled away from pure devotion to Him. And it's double-minded. Listen to what, again, the scripture says in James 1, 6 to 8. It says, "But when you ask," asking things from God, "you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do." And so there is this purity of devotion to Christ, and then there is this place where we become double-minded. And the scripture uses the illustration of being like a boat on the water, and that we're tossed to and fro. And we talked a little bit about that last week when we talked about addiction approval, that sometimes when we put ourselves out and expect approval from other people, we're just like a boat being tossed to and fro. And here scripture uses that illustration to tell us that that's what it's like when we go through life, when we don't have pure devotion to Christ. We are influenced by so many different things, and we're tossed about like a boat on the ocean. And the enemies to pure devotion to Christ are first multiplicity. Now, multiplicity is the idea that we desire to have spiritual growth in our lives, but it is lost in the multiple options that there are in life. You know, some of us, you know, when we come to the new year, we'll say, "Well, I really want to do these things spiritually," but we also have all these other things that we're doing that we want to try to get accomplished in life. And so we get lost in the multiplicity of life. And so there are so many different options that we can choose from that we get lost in it, and we don't do the things that we know we want to do. And Paul talks about that struggle in Romans. He says, "The things that I want to do, I don't do." And so it just seems that we get caught in this multiple view of life. The other one is a little bit more deceptive, and that's duplicity. And this is really where double-mindedness is a big part of it. We say one thing, but we do another. And this kind of hypocrisy is detrimental to our faith. That sometimes we will be dual in our, you know, we say we want to love and serve God, but we do the very opposite things. We say that we want to live a pure life, and yet we do things that are contrary to the very desire that we say that we want. You know, we say we want to do this, but we end up doing that. And human beings have a remarkable capacity for self-deception. I recently read a study that showed that most of us think that we are a good driver, but we think that everyone else is a bad driver. And so we are convinced, because we're the one that's in control and we're behind the wheel, that we are a good driver. And if we make a mistake, well, we'll just chalk that up to, well, you know, everybody makes a mistake. But the other person, we would say they're a bad driver because they do that. And so we have an ability to be able to deceive ourselves into thinking that we are better than other people. And so this is where duplicity comes in. Well, you know, so if I'm not doing the things spiritually that I know I should be doing, what we will do is we will look at somebody who's really, really bad, and we will convince ourselves that we are good because, well, I'm not as bad as that individual. And so we can be very comfortable with a lot of duplicity in our own lives. And so we will judge other people for the very behaviors that we do. And this is where duplicity becomes so complicated, is because we are very comfortable with our own duplicity, but we are very uncomfortable with other people's duplicity. And God calls us not to multiplicity or duplicity. He calls us to simplicity of heart or purity of devotion. Scripture says, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Then all the other stuff is going to be added unto you. But you have to seek first the kingdom of God. And so there is a simplicity that God is calling us to. First, foremost, seek first his kingdom. Martha, in scripture, Jesus says to her, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary was caught up in the multiplicity of life, and Mary was just simply worshiping at the Lord's feet. And Jesus says to Martha, Martha, you're getting caught up in the multiplicity of life when really only one thing is needed. One thing, that simplicity of faith and pure devotion to Christ. And so we want to look at what is this one thing that God is calling to us to. You know, what is our simplicity of faith? What is our purity of devotion? What is this one thing? If we want to be saved from double-mindedness, we must be committed to what Romans 12 says of being able to transform our minds. And so Scripture calls us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Well, how do we do that? Well, we do that by immersing our minds in Scripture. And so when we talk about purity of devotion, one thing that we do is we immerse ourselves in Scripture. This is what it says in Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? How can we live a life of purity in a world that doesn't have purity? And it says, by living it according to God's word. And so Scripture tells us that we need to immerse ourselves in Scripture to have this purity of devotion. Another scripture that picks up on a concept. Now, this is actually a verse that talks about marriage relationships, but it has this interesting phrase kind of stuck in the middle of it. Listen to what it says in, this is from Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her, listen to the phrase, by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And so tucked in the middle of this verse talking about husbands and wives, it talks about Christ and the church, and it talks about how Christ wants to make the church holy by washing it with water by the word. And so there's this concept of washing through the word. It's kind of a hard phrase to say, washing through the word. Now, we all understand the concept of washing and why washing is important. Because if you've had something that really needed to be washed and it wasn't washed, it can start to have a little bit of an odor that goes along with it. You know, I was reminded of this as I was going through this passage of Scripture and talking about washing to clean through the Word. And I was reminded of one person in our household whose name shall not be mentioned, but who happened to work at a grocery store. And one of the things that he would do is that he would take his work shirt off after his shift and just throw it in his locker and leave it there. Well, the one day he decided that he was going to bring that shirt home to be washed. And let me tell you, it really needed to be washed. The aroma that started to come from his shirt, I had to wash it multiple times in order to be able to try to get it to some resemblance of clean again. And so we are a lot like a garment of clothing. If we are not washing our minds through the word, we have the potential of having our minds start to move towards what I would call, actually I heard a bishop who talked about that, and he called it stinking thinking. And we have a potential to move that towards that if we are not aligning and washing ourselves with the word. Our minds can quickly be filled with stinking thinking if we are not constantly washing our thoughts in the Word of God. And John Ortberg says something very profound. He says, "I have never known someone leading a spiritually transformed life who has been not deeply saturated by the Word of God." And I would totally agree with him that I don't think I have ever met anyone who has been going moving deeply in their spiritual life without finding out that they are people of the Word, that they get into God's Word, they read God's Word, they apply God's Word, they meditate on God's Word, that spiritual development without the Word of God is not going to happen. It's not. And I know that sounds like it's really kind of fixed thinking, but Scripture tells us the significance and the importance of getting our minds washed by the Word of God. And if we're not getting into God's Word, and we're not thinking on God's Word, and we're not meditating on God's Word, then we are not going to be washed by His Word. And if we're not being washed, we're going to be like the dirty shirt. Oof. Where in the world did that kind of thinking come from? Well, it comes when we don't wash our minds with the Word of God. This is what 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful. So here we have God's Word. This is what it's useful for. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so here we see that the Word of God has all these benefits. It's good for teaching. It's good for correcting us. It's good for rebuking us. It's good for training in righteousness. And it will equip us so that we will be able to do good works. And so we are equipped by the Word of God. Because as we listen to God's Word, as we think about God's Word, we discover what God's will is. And so the purpose of knowing Scripture is not so that we can get 100% on the heavenly entrance exam. It is so that we can become equipped for good works. Many of us think that it's just the accumulation of knowledge, if I just keep bringing it in, but it's the application of the Word of God and how it comes out in our lives that is the most significant. So, you know, I can go to Bible college and I can study all these things, but ultimately, it's how it outflows out of my life, not how much I can take in. So does that mean it's bad to take it in? No, it's not. But if it doesn't have a growth potential in our lives, we are wasting the Word of God. And we are hoarding it to ourselves. And so when you get into heaven, it's not going to be a written quiz that you write when you get in. Do you know the story of David well enough? Do you know this? No. It's going to be, how did it reflect in your good works? If the Bible were to completely fulfill its mission, our minds would be so transformed, every moment would reflect life in the kingdom of God. If the Word of God does its mission in our minds, it will be reflected in the sense that the kingdom of God is in us and the kingdom of God outflows from us. And that's what the potential of the Word of God is in our lives. And so we need to begin to meditate and on Scripture and to begin to think about it, and with the intent that allowing God's Word to transform and change us. Because it's the washing of the Word that is eventually going to lead us to life change and transformation in our lives. And so we want to meditate on God's Word. And so let me just give you a few suggestions here. Number one is, and this makes common sense, is that you need to ask God to meet you in the Scriptures. So when you get into God's Word, you need to ask God to meet you in the Scripture. And this is where some of us who are a little bit of a to-do list type of people, sometimes we are in a hurry to get the I did it, check, instead of saying, you know what, as I reflect on God's Word, God, would you meet with me here in this moment right now? As I take some time in order to be able to reflect on your Word, I ask you to meet me in your Scripture, because this is your words given to me. I am going to ask you for your guidance and your direction as I read your Word. So take some time. Don't just simply motor through it and get on with your day. Ask God to meet you in the Scripture. Number two, read the Bible with a repentant spirit. And what that means is that we want God to help us to change. And so sometimes you're confronted with the Word of God, and you know what? You realize, I'm not really doing this. And so, you know, come with the attitude that you're going to have God meet with you, but also that you're coming with the idea that I am wanting to change and be transformed. And so that comes from with the openness to be able to say, you know what, I don't have it all together, and I am going to find things that God wants to correct in my life. And so I am going to admit, you know what, God, as I read your Scripture, it says that I need to do these things, and I'm not doing those things. And so I am going to repent of that, and I'm going to try to have that applied in my life. And so ask God to meet, ask God to for a repentant spirit so that you can be able to respond appropriately. Meditate on a fairly brief passage or narrative. Now, this is something, I am not discouraging, you know, because some people read through the Bible in a year, and that's great. You know, I would say that this is on top of that. Make sure that you take a small bit, because, you know, it's hard to try to apply 10 chapters to your life if you've read that much, or I don't know how much it would be in order to be able to read through your Bible in a year. But it's a significant portion of Scripture. And so take a small piece. And so let's say, yeah, you pick a Scripture like, be still and know that I am God, and reflect on that. And then you can reflect on that and think about that portion of Scripture, because, you know, that's something that's very simple, that you go, be still and know that I am God. You know, God, I have a really hard time with being still. I like noise. I like being busy. And God, how can you help me, or what do you want me to do in order to be still and know that you are God? And then you can also take that one thought or verse through the day with you. So you have your one verse that you're taking with you. You know what? I'm going through my day. How can I be still and know that He is God? Well, you know what? As I'm sitting at my computer, I'm going to take just a minute during the day, and I'm going to apply that verse, and I'm just going to be still and reflect on the goodness of God. Be still and reflect on His greatness in my life. Be still and know that You are God. And so you take that scripture with you throughout the day. Also, this thought is to become part of your memory. And so you can, and this is, scripture encourages us to memorize scripture. And many of us are not very good at memorizing scripture. You know, I remember when I was in Bible college, I think I might have shared this before, but the teacher took us and he got about four or five people together in a group. And then he asked us, okay, I want you to write down all the scriptures that you have memorized in your group. And so we sat down and we all rattled off John 3:16 really quickly. And then we were, you know, somebody else, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Okay, we got that one. And, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23:1, we got that. And by the time we were done, I think a group of five Bible college students, I think we were able to rattle off about 15, possibly 16 verses. Now, there are way more than that in Scripture. And if we really are interested in meditating and thinking on His Word, it's good. And if there's something, you know, if you're, I read earlier from Psalm 119, where it's like, how can a young man keep his way pure but by living it by according to God's word? You know, that's something that if you're struggling with purity, it's a great verse to carry around in your pocket. And so when you're struggling in temptation, you can say, how can a young man keep his way pure but by living it according to God's word? So God, I want to live according to Your word. You know, we really do need to become people of His Word. And so we need to be taking God's Word, reading God's Word, applying God's Word every single day. The goal is not for us to get through the Scriptures. The goal is to get the Scripture through us. You know, it's not just so that we can check it off our to-do list, but that we can allow God's Word, let the Word of God dwell richly. That's what Scripture encourages us to do. Let the Word of God dwell richly in us. And so it's not a matter of simply chucking through what we want to read that day, but we really take God's Word and we let it wash us. And we let it cleanse us. And we let it change the way we think. And then as it changes the way we think, it changes the way that we behave. And so the challenge. I think all of us, if you've been in the church long enough, know the significance and the importance of getting into God's Word. And that's the challenge. Would you commit to getting into God's Word? Will you take 5 minutes a day, read one verse, write some thoughts about it and how you need to apply it in your life? Maybe even take a moment and memorize that verse. And then you need to try to live that verse out. Take it with you wherever you go. Commit to reading God's Word. Because if we don't, we will never see the life transformation that we are desiring in our lives. As John Ortberg said, I've never known anybody who has developed and grown in spiritual faith without being a person who's into God's Word. And I've already mentioned this. As a checklist person, I like checking things off. And so sometimes I can do something and check it off the list, and it really did absolutely nothing to transform and change my life. And so we need to break out of the yes, I did it mode to let me allow God's Word to to develop and grow in my life and help and transform and change me. Don't just check it off the list. Make sure that it's checking you. Maybe God needs to have a checklist. We need to let that do its work in your life and then let God check it off. And we need to let God's word get into us. As we get into God's word, let's let it get into us. Let's be people of the word of God, allowing him to transform and change us. We should never, ever consider the word of God just a, you know, another thing to be done, but that it is God's main way that he speaks to his people today, and he reveals to them his will through his word, and he wants us to allow that opportunity. So as you meet with God in his word, invite him to meet with you. Come with a repentant spirit. Allow it to wash over you and allow it to flow from your life so that in all circumstances we would be conformed to his image and his word. As we conclude the service today, this is a song by Mercy Me, and just let the words of this song speak to you. And it talks about the word of God speaking to us. And I would encourage you, you know, maybe you're already a person who gets into God's word, really take that opportunity to get deeper into his word. Maybe you're a person that this has always been something that you wanted to do. Make sure that you seize the opportunity, even if it's a small moment each day. Start somewhere. Start small, then build from there. Don't go for the whole shooting match in the one thing. Make sure that you start small and keep building from there. Let's let the word of God speak. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is your word to each one of us, and you want us to let the word of God dwell richly in our lives. And we pray, Father, that as we let your word move in our lives, that you would wash us with your word, that we would meditate on your word, and that it would transform and change our lives through your work, by your spirit, through your word. So we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's either sing or listen to this song together.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. You pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. And the funny thing is, it's okay.
Well, let's let the Word of God speak to us. Let's find the time. Let's make the time in order to be able to allow His Word to get into us so that it will come out of our lives and be reflected in our behavior and in our actions, and that it would help us to be transformed and changed into His image. Well, God bless you. I hope that you have a great week and that you are encouraged. Be safe. You can also join in on the conversation that we have following the service. Maybe that you've got a question about something or you want some ideas and how you can apply that. Take the opportunity to join in on the discussion. But let's make sure that as His people, let's be people of His Word. Have a great week.
Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice, Word of God speak. You pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. To be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. I'm finding myself at a loss for words. Funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes your majesty. To be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice. Finding myself at a loss.